Hello and welcome to The Big Fight. Well, today we're discussing a subject that actually none of us should really have a big fight about, which is the entire desire for India to become a strong sporting nation. At the end of the day, few things give us all more national pride than to see that tricolour rising and the entire stadium rising for the national anthem as somebody gets a gold medal. And we've seen a fair amount of that in recent years in the Commonwealth Games and Asian Games. We would like to see more of that, of course, at the Olympics Games as well. And then, of course, cricket, which has been that one big sport that we've been also passionate about like a religion. Well, maybe not quite that same success in the last month, at least in England. But at the end of the day, India is still the number one test team. So we've achieved a lot, but a lot more still needs to be done. And today we are here at this particular point. Asian Games are over. Test series is over. We've got some time to sit back and think. And this might be the right time for us to turn our attention to what needs to be done to make sure we continue to rise up and up and up in the world of sports. And we've got a great panel to help us to analyze, dissect, and tell us what exactly needs to be done. Atul Vasan joining us. Great to have you with us. Former cricketer represented India, often been a guest of ours to tell us what he thinks needs to be done. Shimon Sharif is a shooter joining us, as indeed is Mansheer Singh, two-time Olympian, Arjun Awardee. Great to have all of you, you know, coming and giving us your opinion of what should be done. Shooting, of course, being one of the sports where we've actually done really well. G. Rajaraman joining us, sports journalist, Nandan Kamath, a lawyer and a founder of Go Sports Foundation. Sumesh Kamra joining us, co-founder of Superhuman JW, who's also been looking at martial arts. And there's a reason why we should really look at martial arts, considering the number of medals that they actually seem to be there in all of this. And it's a great pleasure to have joining us Vinesh Pogat, who, of course, needs very little further introduction. So before I come to you, actually, why don't I just start off with Vinesh. Vinesh ji, bahut bahut dhanyawad, ab humare saath hain. Shuruaat shayad aap hi se karti hain, kyunki भारत ने का काफी अच्छा प्रदर्शन था एशियन गेम्स में. सब लोग बहुत खुश थे. इतना अच्छा प्रदर्शन शायद पहले कभी हुआ नहीं था. इसकी वजह क्या है? सरकार की तरफ से भी बहुत सहायता शायद मिल रही है आप कि आप कहेंगे कि एथलीट्स का अपना कंट्रीब्यूशन ज्यादा है?
सबसे पहले तो सर थैंक यू, धन्यवाद बहुत बहुत आपको. और बिल्कुल काफी अच्छा सपोर्ट मिल रहा है सर अभी तो. जैसे गवर्नमेंट ने टॉप स्कीम चलाई है और फेडरेशन है, सभी लोग साथ में एक साथ होकर काम करें एथलीट के लिए. और जब भी जरूरत होता है तो टाइम के साथ मतलब को लिया जाता है उस चीज का. तो वो मतलब एक लेवल पे जब एथलीट पहुंच जाता है तो उसको उस टाइम की बहुत ही ज्यादा जरूरत होती है जो उसके पास कीमती होता है. और उसी टाइम पे सब कुछ मिल रहा है तो वो बिल्कुल आप रिजल्ट्स भी देख रहे हैं कि काफी चेंज हो रहे हैं अभी इंडिया में स्पोर्ट्स के प्रति.
ठीक है विनय जी, कुछ ऐसे स्पोर्ट्स हैं जिसमें जिन पे काफी इंटरेस्ट सबका हमेशा से रहा है, और जैसे कि रेसलिंग है, क्रिकेट की तो बात करते ही नहीं है. कुछ लोगों का कहना है कि जो नए स्पोर्ट्स आ रहे हैं उन पर भी ध्यान देना चाहिए क्योंकि वहां काफी मेडल्स हैं. एशियन गेम्स का देख लीजिए तो 90 गोल्ड मेडल्स तो सिर्फ यू नो मार्शल आर्ट्स में थे. तो क्या आपको भी लगता है कि जिस तरह रेसलिंग में हम लोगों ने मेडल जीतना शुरू किया, अन्य स्पोर्ट्स पर भी हमको अब ध्यान देना चाहिए?
जी 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 बिल्कुल बिल्कुल, अदर स्पोर्ट्स पे फोकस होना चाहिए. जैसे पहले क्रिकेट था, उसके बाद अभी बैडमिंटन है, रेसलिंग है और शूटिंग है, तो वो स्पोर्ट्स काफी आगे आए हैं. तो ऐसे सभी स्पोर्ट्स को साथ में लेके चलेंगे तभी तो पावर हाउस बनेगा सर. दो या तीन गेम से हम पावर हाउस कैसे बोल सकते हैं एक कंट्री को. तो बिल्कुल हर एक स्पोर्ट्स को साथ में लेके चलना होगा और हर एक एथलीट को रिस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी लेनी होगी कि अपने स्पोर्ट्स में जब तक रहें और जब तक हैं तो अपना बेस्ट करें. और गवर्नमेंट को भी अदर स्पोर्ट्स पे पूरा फोकस करना चाहिए ताकि जो भी ऑप्शन होते हैं एथलीट के पास वो ज्यादा ऑप्शन होने चाहिए गेम के प्रति. क्योंकि जरूरी नहीं है कि किसी के पास रेसलिंग में ही टैलेंट हो, कोई ऐसे गेम में भी टैलेंट हो सकता है जो मतलब इंडिया में इतना पॉपुलर नहीं है. तो अगर उसमें भी फोकस दिया जाए तो एथलीट को भी विश्वास रहेगा कि हाँ कि अगर मैं इसमें जाऊंगा तो मेरा करियर इसमें भी रेसलिंग की तरह या बैडमिंटन की तरह अच्छा हो सकता है.
वही बात जो है कि एक दो स्पोर्ट्स पे हमारा अटेंशन नहीं होना चाहिए, वही बात को अगर हम आगे ले जाएं तो ये भी सवाल उठता है कि शायद कुछ ही राज्यों को नहीं होना चाहिए जहां से सारे मेडल्स मिल रहे हैं. सो आप मणिपुर को देखेंगे कि या हरियाणा को देखेंगे तो उनमें क्या खास बात है कि इतने सारे मेडल्स वहीं से आते हैं? क्या सरकार की वजह से है या किसी और चीज़ की वजह से है? ये स्टेट्स इतना अच्छा क्यों करते हैं?
सर हरियाणा की अगर मैं बात करूं तो हरियाणा में एक तो आपको रोल मॉडल्स काफी मिल रहे हैं. आज के दिन में आप कोई भी स्पोर्ट्स में जाइए आपको रोल मॉडल जरूर मिलेगा कि हाँ कि उसने बहुत बड़ा अचीवमेंट दिया है या कंटिन्यूसली दे रहे हैं. और दूसरा स्पोर्ट्स में जो गवर्नमेंट है वो भी काफी दिलचस्पी दिखाती है हमारे यहाँ पे, कुछ भी हो तो वो स्पोर्ट्स के प्रति, हाँ स्पोर्ट्स में ये नया आया है, स्पोर्ट्स में ये नया आया है, तो उसमें भी कि पैसा है, जैसे हरियाणा में है तो कितना पैसा, करोड़ों में आपको पैसा दे रहे हैं, तो वो एथलीट को एक विश्वास रहता है कि हाँ कि यहाँ पे अगर मैं फोकस करूंगा तो मुझे जॉब भी है, मेरा मुझे पैसा भी मिल रहा है, मुझे फेम भी मिल रहा है, तो सब चीजें उसको मिल रही है, तो क्यों ना वो स्पोर्ट्स करे। तो इसलिए भी शायद हरियाणा में स्पोर्ट्स को ज्यादा मतलब तवज्जो दी जा रही है आज के दिन।
वो काफी अच्छा आपका पॉइंट है, उस पर हमें शायद ज्यादा विस्तार से बात करनी चाहिए अभी स्टूडियो में। आपसे एक और सवाल अगर अगर पूछना चाहूंगा कि आपने शायद देखा होगा दंगल के बाद आपकी जो फैमिली है वो इतनी पॉपुलर हो गई चाइना में, जब आप एशियन गेम्स में थी वहां जकार्ता में थी, कि शायद आपको ताज्जुब हुआ होगा कि चीनी फैंस काफी थे जो आपको चेयर कर रहे थे क्योंकि वो आपके बारे में, आपके खानदान के बारे में जानते हैं।
जब मैं मेरा फर्स्ट मैच था तब जो चाइना का जो मीडिया था सभी मेरे पर फोकस कर रहे थे और सभी फोटोज और गुड लक मुझे बोल रहे थे चाइना की टीम से, तभी तो मुझे समझ में नहीं आया कि एक्चुअल में ये क्यों हो रहा है। तो मैंने सोचा कि शायद ये चाइना की लड़की के साथ है मेरा मैच इंजरी के बाद, तो शायद वो फोकस कर रहे, लेकिन उसके बाद में पता चला कि ये दंगल के कारण ये लोग मेरे, कि ये फोगाट सिस्टर है और इसके साथ में मैच है, तो वो लोग इसलिए ज्यादा मुझे मतलब फोकस कर रहे थे। और सभी लोग मतलब इतना अच्छा लगा मुझे उस टाइम पे, चाइना की लड़की के साथ मेरा मैच है और चाइना के लोग मुझे बेस्ट ऑफ लक बोल रहे हैं कि आपको जीतना है आज और अच्छा करना है, तो बिल्कुल काफी अच्छा लगता है जब आपका इंडिया से बाहर भी लोग अप्रिशिएट कर रहे हैं कि हाँ कि आप अच्छा करो और आप जीत सकते हो, तो काफी अच्छा लग रहा था उस टाइम पे।
विनय जी, शायद आप वो बहुत रेयर एथलीट होंगी जिनके चाइना के सारी पॉपुलेशन, इंडिया के सारे पॉपुलेशन दोनों आपके लिए चेयर कर रहे हैं। सो शायद पहले कभी नहीं होगा कि 2 बिलियन लोग किसी एक एथलीट के लिए चेयर कर रहे हो। पर बहुत बहुत धन्यवाद, आप हमारे साथ थी और आपने जो कुछ सुझाव दिए उन पर हम ज्यादा विस्तार से अब चर्चा करना चाहेंगे here on the big fight. Thank you so much. So actually really interesting. So let me get Manshir on this. Must have been a really rare moment to have 2.6 billion people cheering for an athlete after all the success that the Phogats now, and the sort of response the Phogats are now getting in China.
Absolutely. I think it's great to, for Indian sports, especially an Olympic sport, to find this kind of support from a country like China, which is in itself so strong with its own ideas, and they are so focused in their sporting program. To support an athlete from another country goes to show that maybe Bollywood has done us some good too.
Yeah, I know that's going to happen. All right, so lots thrown up from what Vinesh said, which I actually want to extend to everyone. But hey, we're talking about sports, and I hate to do this, but we've got to start off with cricket, right? That's just the way I'm sure everyone realizes it has unfortunately always been, and maybe for at least a bit more. Perhaps not if the Indian team keeps playing the way it did in England, though, Atul Vasan. Now, obviously, cricket, one of the first sports where we actually have genuinely become a global superpower. Now, I know you can keep cribbing and saying that, yeah, not that many countries play sports, but actually we shouldn't play cricket, I beg your pardon. But at the end of the day, there is still a very large share of the world's population which is cricket playing, so we shouldn't knock it also completely. What do you think went wrong in England, Atul?
Well, I think everything, but the result actually is not the actual difference between the two teams. We missed the crucial points. We were unlucky at times, and we were insipid at times, and we let the opportunities slip through, especially when we had them 86-6, and then we lost the match. Eventually, it was a wonderful series, but 4-1 is not a true reflection of the size. Having said that, I wonder why this irrelevant debate always starts when we win medals in other sports, and then eventually everybody looks at cricket. Why is cricket getting this? I mean, it's beyond anybody's hand. The ecosystem of India is right now just at the tipping point of sports being a general entertaining platform, and other sports also getting the eyeballs which cricket used to get. But now, how do you shift this entertaining value of cricket to other sport? You can't force somebody's hand. We can't have these shows and bring attention to other sports. I mean, players, the champions we're getting right now in other sports, which is despite of the system, not because of it. And now, unless we get these champions to win at the highest level, the Olympics and all, the attention will never shift. We can talk till the cows come home. We cannot force these guys who run multi-billion dollar corporations to put money in the other sports. See, we have got medals, and why are you putting money in cricket? You can never be asking this question. It is not a donation for flood relief, you know. You've got to, people know they're smart enough to put money where they make money. No matter India loses, next series, if India and the advertisers don't get the eyeballs, cricket will diminish. But will it diminish by India losing and comparing to other sports? I don't think so.
Okay, Nandan Kamath, let me just get you in on that point, because actually in the last couple of months, we've also seen an example where a lot of support has been blamed for India losing its dominance. And I'm talking obviously in this case about Kabaddi, where a lot of what Atul Vasan was saying actually came to pass. It became really successful. Corporates got involved, lots and lots of eyeballs, massive exposure on television. And guess what? For the first time, we don't get gold medals in either men or women at the Asian Games in Kabaddi. So sometimes it can come back to bite us.
Yeah, Vikram, I think a large part is really understanding what your success metric is. In many ways, yes, medals are the success metric, but on the other hand, also, what is sport doing for our nation and what does it have the capability to do? And on that, in that regard, I'd like to talk about three different things and the potential for sport. And the first one is really identity and what it makes us feel about ourselves. The second is emulation, which is how does it encourage other people to try and get good at sport, at that particular sport. And the third really is inspiration, where you don't have to be good at sport, but the way other people perform and the elements of excellence really get you excited about what you are doing. And the fact that another Indian is excelling really inspires you to do a lot of other things. So I think we can also look at a broader element of the role of sport in our society. I think cricket has got a lot of those elements right. Where we have the opportunity is to actually deconstruct what cricket has got right and replicate strong models of sports organization, also making it possible to emulate sports people by making sports facilities, coaching, and training capabilities more accessible. And at a broader level, I think one of the great successes of the Asian Games and the Commonwealth Games were how powerfully the stories of all our athletes were told by our journalists and in some sense by our athletes themselves. So I just feel like there's a groundswell of greater understanding of the role sport can play in society. The medals help us tell those stories very, very, very powerfully. But at the same time, the way we look at sport when it comes to the Olympic disciplines, it's either medal or nothing. And with cricket, there's always another chance every few weeks to rewrite that story. So I think we're comparing apples and oranges in many ways. And like what Atul mentioned, this isn't necessarily a zero-sum game. Cricket doesn't have to diminish for the other sports to flourish.
Okay, that's an interesting point. Mr. Rajaram, let me just come to you. Telling the story about sports, because obviously in the telling of those stories, is when you encourage more people to get involved. I mean, we have just heard in Vinesh, the telling of the story of Dangal spread the message of Indian wrestling to so many places that you had Chinese fans cheering for her, which was interesting. Are journalists finding it easier now to tell the story of other sports, badminton, shooting, wrestling? There are a number of other names which are also starting to rise. It's not only cricket stars. Look at, for example, the viewership that the Asian Games got in India. I mean, other than the IPL, it was one of the top-selling events that has happened in recent times.
Vikram, very interesting point that you raise. Yes, journalists find it easy to tell stories these days, but it's not true that it has happened only now because of the Asian Games or the Commonwealth Games. I think if you know about P.T. Usha, she came when television was just about beginning to be seen in India. It was spreading in India. Now with satellite television, it is easier for more people to know about the Swapna Bermans, the Jitu Rais. So many heroes emerge. But what really needs to be done is for us to go down to the grassroots, tell the stories when they're rising, not when they have risen, not when they have risen to the Asian Games level or the Olympic Games level. We really need to tell these stories. They need to be heard. You and I need to talk about these stories, even when they're playing the national games and the national championships. That is when India will be a true sporting nation. Look at our media, and I'm kind of castigating where we are. We give so much space to European football and to NBA. I think we need to give space to our heroes, not just when they win gold medals and silver medals at the Asian Games, but always, because that is how we will be able to tell inspirational stories and get more people to play sport.
But I'm just wondering whether that's not starting to change. I mean, let me turn to shooting as an example, and I'm going to come to both of you on this to some extent. If you take shooting, logically, that's not necessarily a sport where India should be excelling in the manner that
that India is excelling across Commonwealth Games, across the Asian Games, around Olympic medals. Look at the number and the amount of sporting talent that is starting to rise out. If you think about it from a completely logical point of view, other than genetics, maybe we're just good shooters, and we have that, and it's a question of concentration. Otherwise, it's the one thing which does require expensive equipment, expensive ammunition, good facilities should be required, and yet we're producing so many world beaters. What would be the reason for that?
I think, Vikram, the biggest reason for this is the emergence of small private shooting academies throughout the country. When Abhinav Bindra won the Olympic gold in 2008 in the 10-meter air rifle event, a lot of former shooters, they started making small shooting ranges. The ones who could not make it big in the Indian team, they set up a lot of ranges in their hometowns, the former shooters, the existing shooters. So as a result, now you'll find a small shooting indoor range in almost every corner of the country. So the sport became very accessible to the masses, and as a result, you know, a lot of school children could play it. These academies
but
were well equipped.
It's still expensive. I mean, I'm just thinking ammunition, rifles, good quality guns. It's not the same as being able to spread wrestling or boxing or football. You know, what do you need for football at the end of the day, or any of these sports? Spreading shooting to that extent is probably one of the most expensive sports, isn't it?
Yeah.
Other than, I don't know, equestrian.
Because it involves expensive imported equipment, and this equipment is not easily available here. You need to be a good shooter, reach the nationals to import this equipment. Yes, it is expensive, but, you know, still people have been able to manage it. There are a lot of schools now which have opened up shooting ranges and are well equipped with equipment. So, like a beginner doesn't need to have their own equipment also. They can just use a rented equipment from a school or from the rifle club.
Why shooting? Is it because of the example people see someone like you? And because we got early success in shooting, then that's when the bandwagon effect kicks in and people say, okay, we want to do this. Vinesh was talking a short while back about people see that one example and say, I want to be like that person.
No, absolutely. I think legacy plays a big part in sport. If you look at all around the world, you'll find sports that have done well in certain countries because there has been a legacy of people from that country having performed really well, whether it's athletics, boxing, like the Cubans were very well renowned for boxing. They produced Olympic champions one after the other. And the gymnasts came from Russia. Why? So there has always been this legacy issue. And I think Rajavardhan's silver in 2004 Olympics, and then, of course, Abhinav topping it with that gold in 2008, as Shimon rightly pointed out, caught the imagination of the young. And yes, the private academies, even state academies, have come up now because they've found that shooting is a sport where Indians, somehow or the other, mind and body sync really well. It's a hand-eye coordination thing, and the mind dominates at the end. I think Indians are blessed with that. And you will find in a normal national championship that happens nowadays, which happens once a year, you'll find world records being made. You'll find children coming out of nowhere with 1 year of training, suddenly reaching close to a world record. The world championships have ended, and it's a glorious day for Indian shooting simply because we've come number three in the world. China is obviously number one. We've tied Korea on gold medals, 11 in their home country. We've never achieved this success. We have 27 medals, out of which 11 are gold. So 11 world champions. And 9 silver, 7 bronze. 4 years ago, you know what the medal tally was at the same event in Spain? 1 silver, 1 bronze. Today it's 27 medals in world championships, and some world records have been broken. And predominantly done by the youth, by boys and girls under
15 year olds, 16 year olds.
Exactly.
And they're all coming out from somewhere and they're starting to
perform. Asian Games was an example of that. Now the thing is, there's so much of talent in India for shooting. It needs to be tapped. Now the biggest challenge for Indian shooting is going to be the coaching support, the coaching program that we put in place to get these kids to a higher level, and we start seeing Olympic medals.
Mansher is absolutely right. The sort of a surge that we are continuing to see in shooting, the results at these world championships have been astonishing. There has to be a reason for it. Is it because, as he says, Indians, this may be something that Indians are just good at as much as the system?
I think what really has happened is that the National Rifle Association of India, of which Mansher is a very integral part, has focused on juniors. That is why out of the 27 medals, I think more than 20 have been won by the juniors. It is really amazing what Mansher and Jaspal Rana have done. Suma Shirur has done. There have been private coaches as well. They've all done wonderfully well to rope in the youngsters, encourage them. Now, one misconception that we have is that all shooting is expensive. Maybe shotgun is very expensive. Maybe buying a rifle, a rifle that's used for 10 meter or 50 meter, that is expensive. But pistol shooting is perhaps not as expensive. And that is where we have found our champions. I think you will find more and more young pistol shooters coming in and dominating the stage as far as India is concerned. Very interestingly, Vikram, at a time when Abhinav Bindra was a youngster and was shooting, there might have been a couple of hundred people taking part in national championships, and Mansher will bear me out. And today, I think there are about 7,000 people who take part in national championships across age groups. And I think that is really wonderful. A sport that is not seemingly very popular, but you find more and more people taking to it. There have been former athletes who have jumped into shooting. You will hear about Neeta Samantre at some point of time. She was an Odisha long jumper and sprinter. She's a pistol shooter now and aiming to get to the Olympic game. That is the beauty of this sport.
Atul Basin, let me just, so this thing which we are starting to see in shooting, wrestling, one or two other sports, let's just take that parallel with cricket. One of the reasons, of course, why so many people have been able to get into cricket is that, A, that bandwagon effect that we were just talking about. You've grown up idolizing cricketers. Everyone, when they're young, says, oh, I want to be a cricketer and I want to play for India. Now it's starting to happen with other sports. You may well look at one of the youngsters who's done so well, a Saurabh, Chaudhary or a Manu Bhakan, and so I would like to be like that also. That ability to get people young and give them training young, which used to exist in cricket, may now hopefully be happening elsewhere as well.
Yes, and I think you've asked the question why we are so good at it, because it's our intrinsic genetic makeup which makes us predisposed to doing well in certain sport and not doing well in other sport. Why does Jamaica doesn't have a ping pong team or a badminton team or a long distance team? Because they know, and they've got, they don't spread the butter too thin. India has been doing that, taking inclusive, take all sport. We don't have much budget, but everybody takes some money. And then we lose out on that concentrated effort on these events like archery, shooting, because we are good. Somebody mentioned it's a mind thing, hand-eye coordination. Cricket, we are good because it's a hand-eye thing. It's more technique than the physical power of the lungs and your muscles. That's why anytime the ICC takes cricket towards the power level, BCCI has got the clout to bring it back. No, you can't bowl more than two bouncers. You can't do this. Keep the element of skill in it. That's why wrestling we do well, boxing, because they match weight to weight. So certain sport, like athletics, exceptions are always there, Neeraj and certain players. But at the world level, we'll always struggle. Football will always struggle. Basketball will always struggle. Why waste our funds on that? Just concentrate on few sports. The biggest marksman ever in the history of humans have been Arjuna. And that's where your legacy is coming from.
Well, the archery team has often done well, has sometimes tended to disappoint. But let me just give you the flip side of what you have just said. And I'm going to get Sumesh in on this. The flip side of that, Atul, is that at the end of the day, you also need to see a number of sports where the medals are. If you look at the Asian Games this time, for example, look at Indonesia. They got, 14 gold medals in Pencak Silat. It's an unknown martial arts which happens to be there. 16 gold medals at stake, and they pick up 14 of them, which is why they're right up there. Uzbekistan, why were they high on the medals tally? It's because they picked up 6 gold medals in a sport like Kurash. So I hear what you're saying about not spreading yourself too thin. But the fact that, for example, India would not send a Pencak Silat team out there or concentrate on some of the martial arts may have been a mistake, because there are a whole bunch of medals out there up for grabs. And we did get some of them,
in sports like Wushu. About these medals in Asian Games, which list, who bothers about, Vikram, who bothers about this ranking in Asian Games, It only matters in Olympic sports, People know the well-recognized sports. That's where you're counted. You might, pat yourself on the back about winning these medals in these remote sports. Wrestling, we used to get a certified medal. But suddenly the teams have realized, because the power and the agility, other countries also has got this. Iran has got this. And Afghanistan, these frontier countries will eventually become, once they train more. So initial advantage was lost. So any sport where we'll always keep our edge, which is hand-eye coordination, mental strength, agility and focus, and then we can build on that and be world champions at about 10
okay,
or 15
let me see
sports.
If, let me see whether Sumesh agrees with that or not.
Enjoy,
Sumesh.
Count them as inclusive sports and carry on.
Okay, yeah. Sumesh, you focused a lot on martial arts and Atul's point that maybe we'll never be that good on it. The flip side of that is so many medals out here, including at the Olympic level. Look at the number of medals you have here in taekwondo, judo, and karate at the Olympics. Not to count, of course, wrestling and boxing as well, but especially these martial arts. You think this is a place where India is missing an opportunity?
I don't completely agree with Atul because with 1.2 billion people, there's enough butter out there to spread. However, yes, I do agree that genetics plays a very important part. We've not succeeded in basketball for a certain reason. We haven't succeeded in football for a certain reason. That doesn't mean our team is not good enough. Maybe there are certain loopholes that need to be roped in. There was a few years back where I had gone to a particular sporting organization, and I saw that all the junior sportsmen were having puri bhaji for breakfast. So a very small thing, when it comes down to nutrition, if you see what the Indian team gets to eat or what they do, how much they sleep, the nutrition, it's a completely different ballgame. And the Indian team, I mean the Indian cricket team. But when we focus on the other sports, it is surely based on heart and talent. I feel if we focus on the other sports and start nurturing them from the grassroots level and not tell them that after winning gold medals, you'll get 50 lakhs. But we start nurturing them from a grassroots level, I think it'll be a big change. I think not only Asian Games, but at the Olympics, we can perform really well.
Nandan, this argument about is there limited butter and so don't spread it too thin and focus only on sports that we know that we're going to do well in, like shooting or whatever. Or say, we are the fifth largest economy in the world. We have 1.3 billion people. We should try and be good at everything and push for sports where there are medals like martial arts. What's your take?
I think there are multiple ways to look at this. I completely see the perspective of the strengths that we do have, try and consolidate them. But I also believe that it's a limited view of our sporting history. A lot of our athletes, yes, have done exceptionally well in a few sports. Now, is that anecdotal or is that backed by the science? I think there's a lot of us who believe in hand-eye coordination, a few of these other skills. Have we been able to prove that there are these linkages and that we are lacking in many of the other disciplines? And let's take a sport like badminton, for example. 15, 20 years ago, you might have put it in the other inclusive category. There's no way you can talk about that sport in that same light today. Now, if you're good at badminton, why can't you be good at something like fencing, which has a number of medals? Now, that leads to, yes, a broader inquiry on whether we are spreading ourselves too thin and with limited budgets. But to me, the issue is not of the limited budgets that the government is able to allocate. If you look at, for example, the US Olympic program, it survives on $0 from the government. It is able to create an environment where sponsors, corporates are excited to participate in the development and growth of not just athletes, but the system around the athletes, like events, coaching platforms, academies. And I think if we're able to excite enough people, and there are enough people to excite people about different things, I'm not entirely sure that we have enough information to claim that these are the only sports we're good at because we've been good at them in the past, and that we sort of shut shop for all the others and just make dole outs where possible. I strongly believe there's an opportunity for governance, for the creation of these platforms in the other sports, and maybe nothing will come of them, but maybe we'll be surprised.
Okay, Mr. Rajaraman, your take on that?
I think some years ago we started thinking in terms of how we can get more medals at the Asian Games and at the Commonwealth Games. I think it's a sensible route to take because the government gets asked in Parliament how many medals have we won. And it's a standard question that we all ask, 1.3 billion Indians and only 2 medals at the Olympic Games. So we ask this question and somebody has to take charge of this. And I think increasingly we are veering towards finding out where we are good, where we can get more medals. Who would have imagined us getting medals in Wushu, for example? If we were to take the Atul Vasan logic and imagine that India is not good in combat sport, barring maybe boxing and wrestling, then we would have never got medals in sport like Wushu or even Kurash. We did pick up a medal at the Asian Games. For us to ask who does it matter to? I think a lot of people, their whole livelihood depends on what we do in this sport, in the Asian Games. Rowing, you mentioned, Vikram, very important for us to keep backing rowing. I think what is going to happen is there will be a purge. At some point of time, we will even come to question whether we need to invest so much money in a sport like handball, where national camps are held and you finish 10th out of 12 teams or 11th out of 13 teams. You will start questioning even hockey at some point of time. We have a very strong emotional connect with hockey. No doubt we must continue to keep backing hockey as long as you and I are around. But to invest 50 crores a year, maybe 5 crores a year, and then find that one medal. So increasingly within the government, the thought process is, can we get more medals for the same amount of money?
Yeah, and
which is why what Nandan says is very valid.
And let's not forget sport. Let's not forget the point that you were just making.
We need to find people who can win those medals for us.
Yeah, let's not forget the point related to the point that you were just making. A 22-person Penchak Silat team, which could have got a bunch of medals, was actually dropped in favor of handball, you know, just at these last Asian Games. And that was a decision that was taken, active decision that was taken by somebody.
Can I say something?
Atul, you've got a point to make. Then I'm going to come back to Sumesh. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, just because, you know, it's a technical thing that how many medals the member of parliament has asked and you say. But the point is we need to win medals in marquee sports, you know. Jamaicans don't feel sad that they only got 10 or 12
but
medals.
But Atul, what defines a marquee sport?
Okay,
Atul, let me just...
Because, but they take pride that they've got the fastest man. No, my point is...
What's a marquee sport?
My point is that...
What's a marquee sport?
It's good to win medals in various sports. If India has done better, India got more medals, including a gold in rowing, than we did in hockey. So why is that any less? Or I mean, okay, yeah. I understand hockey.
No,
is
but
what
I'm just saying that when we talk about boxing, we talk about big names in boxing. You know, badminton, the world champions are known all over. The sprinters are known all over the world. The wrestlers also are famous. You know, but wushu and karate, they are not marquee sports. Technically, you can win medals and look good, but eventually, when you want to propagate world stars, world big sports stars, and get more people in, you got to win in these marquee sports or
you
marquee
know,
events.
You know, what is a marquee star is a moot point. I mean, Atul, I dare say if Sachin Tendulkar walked, maybe Sachin Tendulkar is an exception, but you know, if you had a Sachin or a Virat Kohli walking through the streets of New York,
so you
maybe
tell me who won,
them other
who,
than
won the,
South
who won the judo medal in the last three Olympics? Can you give me one name? Can you give me one name who won the judo medal in the last three Olympics?
Maybe I can't, but maybe people in Japan
and
would
we all know
to.
Who won the Bob Beavan won the long jump gold medal about 50 years ago. You know, so exactly my point. I rest my case.
No, it is
yes,
not important
hang on.
Who won
maybe
the medal
in India,
the last
in
time.
India, in India, till Prakash Padukone and all came on, maybe people wouldn't have been able to tell you who the badminton stars are. Now you ask anybody in this audience, they'll be able to tell you who Sindhu is and who Saina is. So oh, yeah. That's just the way things are, right? Things change. As you start doing well in a sport,
exactly.
That's when you start to get interest around it. I mean, who would have thought Indian wrestlers would have been known in China? Vinay Shuharda should be interviewed by Chinese media. Atul?
Well, let's have Bollywood movies on Wushu and Karate.
Okay.
Yeah, why not?
Sumesh, you got a business model there straight from Atul.
Well, I have a little... I have a different take on this. Now... Again, I don't agree with Atul completely. He's definitely very knowledgeable in what he's doing. But I believe there's
a polite
lot
way of saying
years
Atul should shut
and
up.
A lot of marketing. No. But what I'm trying to say is that there's been a lot of years, effort, marketing, money pumped into this thing called hero worshipping. Now. Trust me, if we had a boxer or a wushu guy, you know, and this sport has been going on, say, for 40 years, and we've been doing tremendously well, cricket would be way back down and wushu would be big or judo would be big. But there always has to be a start, you know. So I do agree that these may not be marquee sports right now, but who knows, in the next 15 years, there could be a 16-year-old that's blowing out everybody in the world and who's a superstar. So, as you rightly said, like the story of badminton. Badminton was nothing 20 years back, and today we've got Sindhu, we've got, the other stars that are actually roping in millions of dollars just on their sponsorship money, and they're leading a great lifestyle. So, I do believe that if sports becomes a career, where people and students and the young generation choose it as a career, but not as an eventual government job, I think it'll make a big difference.
I think that's an interesting point, and I'm going to come to that. Nandan, actually, we throw that to you. That parents at some point saying, bhai, ye sab theek hai, you know, बहुत खेल लिया, बहुत कूद लिया, अब नाउ वरी अबाउट मार्क्स, नो सिट एंड स्टार्ट वरिंग अबाउट व्हाट यू गोना डू एज अ करियर. इज दैट स्टार्टिंग टू चेंज? एंड इफ दैट स्टार्टिंग टू चेंज, इज इट इन अ नंबर ऑफ स्पोर्ट्स, सो इज इट स्टिल ओनली इन क्रिकेट वेयर पीपल से आर फाइन एट यू इवेंचुअली द पर्सन विल गो एंड प्ले इन आईपीएल एंड बिकम अ बिलियनेयर एंड वी ऑल हैप्पी. Is it a viable option for many people?
Yeah, just before answering that, I'd like to say one of the greatest movie franchises is actually Karate Kid. So we do have a very famous karate movie out there, may not be Indian. But to answer your question, I think what is happening with each achievement, each little achievement, is that there's actually new material being produced for that conversation between the kid and the parent. In the public domain are many, many conversations about sport being viable. What you're trying to do with these new materials and a new narrative of sport is actually alter that discussion between parent and child, saying, can I continue to play? And as multiple different career options open up, not just in sport, I think we're seeing a tremendous amount of openness for sport as a genuine place, not just to express your talents, but to actually support a family. And that is not just at middle class levels, but there's a huge variety of socioeconomic groups for whom sport may be the only outlet. And I think those conversations have already started changing. We're actually looking at, like you mentioned, 15 and 16 year olds who are winning. So imagine that conversation, the 15 year old who won the shooting medals, dropped out of school and did open schooling. So we are actually being able to build some of the systems that are going to make that transformation possible. I think it's a huge, massive challenge to be an elite sportsperson and an undergraduate student at the same time. I see that very actively in the work that I do. So these are binary choices we're forcing upon young people quite early on. But to that extent, I think there are genuine sporting, I think sport is standing almost neck to neck with what I would call the traditional engineering, computer science,
okay, that's
those professions.
Actually, I would have again thought that shooting would be in a sport where people would have hesitated a bit for two reasons. One, the very success, it's expensive, it's not that easy to do, but also the very success of India in shooting means it's a very competitive environment even within. For someone to say, I'm not going to pursue a career or I'm going to, you know, give up, put my studies on a back burner to try and get into the Indian shooting team, hey, it's really competitive now.
Yeah, but Olympic sport is now a career option for Indians. Why? It's not only about the rich cash incentives which you get after Commonwealth Games medals and Asian Games medal in Olympics. It's also, you know, all these government sectors and, you know, a top athlete could get into. There are jobs from railways, Air India, so many other organizations you get into. If you win a medal, if you're from states like Haryana and Punjab, and if you win a medal at the Commonwealth Games, you become a direct DSP. So this is definitely a career option for, you know, a lot of athletes in India.
Okay, that's an interesting point. So you're getting that safety net. It's not that, although we do still see scary pictures, you know, a medalist will suddenly be back. You'll see a picture of that person back, you know, at a tea stall or something like that. So those scary stories still come up, but it is for many people a viable option.
No, absolutely. And, you know, whatever it is, when you see so many people succeeding at a particular sport, and for that matter, take cricket. There's so many people who play cricket, and yet, you know, only a few make it to the top level. In fact, maybe just a handful make it and really do well at it. Same thing I couldn't apply to shooting as well, because the more you see success, and when you see success, for instance, if you're in a locality and one of your friends or someone goes to shoot a district-level competition, wins a medal, or then goes to the state and nationals and wins a medal, it has an effect on the whole locality, on that matter, on the state. I've met so many boys and girls who've never ever picked up a gun and come to our academy to shoot. And I asked them, I said, but what made you come to shoot? He said, oh, we read about it. We read this one won this medal. We read this one, in shooting, we can win medals very easily. And these kids have never ever seen a gun, leave alone picked up one. And today, one of them is a silver medalist in the World Championship 4 years later. She won a medal in Changhua, Korea, equaling the world record within 4 years from never having picked up a gun.
So, Sumesh, I mean, I think that's encouraging people to get into sports. So it's not just a question of winning medals, I guess, in the sort of areas that you're in. Certainly in India and certainly in North India, there would be in parts of North India like Delhi, there'd be additional benefits of getting into martial arts, which is just self-defense, I'm sure.
lots of parents would want to encourage their daughters to do it?
You know, so let's speak on the broader perspective here. So, for example, a lot of parents have actually come to me and said, oh, you know, there can be just one. So if my son or if my daughter gets into the sport, how do I guarantee success or how do I guarantee a medal? No, you cannot. However, people are still jumping the gun, like the parents, they're still jumping the gun and they are only seeing what the final goal is without understanding the process. They need to realize every sport, be it boxing, wrestling, cricket, any sport teaches you a lot of things. It could be discipline, it could be waking up on time, it could be leadership qualities, it could be mental well-being, it could be physical well-being. There are a lot of other benefits that actually come with a sport. I think parents, apart from just career, should really look at this as something as, listen, I'm making my kid into a good human being, you know? And then the results, like the results can wait, you know? It doesn't have to be that they do win the medal or they do earn that 50 lakhs or they do get a job in Haryana or Jalandhar or Chandigarh or wherever it is. But it's just that you're just becoming a good human being. You're not doing drugs on the road.
Okay, Atul, is that conversation between children and parents starting to change and changing rather fast?
Yeah, I think I relate to this narrative because I was a selector and, you know, a lot of, I go to academies and all. And so such a rush of cricket and every parent think that they have got a potential Tendulkar in their household. I mean, how do you break this thing? You have to tell them, you know, even if he doesn't play for state or the country, they're disappointed because only 270 or 290 players, I mean, Rishabh Pant, 292 test players in last 90 years in a 1.1 billion country and everybody plays cricket. So, you know, do the math. But how do you tell this to parents? But I agree totally with them. Once you have to make them understand that this is what you're getting in the bargain, even if he doesn't play, if he's good at certain level, he probably get a job, probably get an IPL contract. But even if he doesn't do that, at least 5-6 years have been well spent.
Rajan, I just wanted to ask you from the government point of view, the importance of a safety net, which has often been discussed, is that something which you think the government is now somewhat aware of? Between the government and the private sector, is it now reasonably certain that somebody who is a fairly good sports person will be taken care of, at least at a basic level?
I think a nice structure is being put in place, Vikram, now. Early this year, we had the Khelo India school game, and 1,000 kids have been picked out of the school game, and maybe a little more from outside the school game, for scholarships which are worth 5 lakh rupees a year for 8 years. You're also going to go back to having university game, I think organized by the government of India, which is very important. So when you have a ladder, we didn't have the ladder before. I think it is very important to get college games back. So you will have step-by-step increase, and if the government is organizing things like a school game and a university game, you're going to find a dividend being paid. I think the private sector has come together with the government. I can see federations work hand in glove with the government. I can see them work with the Sports Authority of India. I think a nice ecosystem is being created with people like Nandan and Viren Raskina's Olympic Gold Quest, where we had Prakash Padukone and Geet Sethi working alongside with Neeraj Bajaj. I think when you see organizations, private organizations, NGOs come together and work, you know India is moving in the right direction. It has taken a bit of time for the cranks to move quickly, but I think we are moving in the right direction. So over the next 4 or 5 years, if we continue in this direction, we will find some progress. We will find more heroes.
So, Nandan, the traditional issue that we keep hearing about, right, the federation themselves, officialdom, red tape, politicians taking over sports, you know, officials doing well and not worrying about the athletes, is that changing? Is that better than it was? Or is it still pretty much what it's always been?
Yeah, I think that has been sort of the narrative for a long, long time. But I think what is ending up happening is everyone recognizes that governance has its value. And I think Mr. Rajaraman mentioned a few organizations and what has enabled them to get money that federations have not been able to access is really governance and integrity. And I think that thought process is seeping into many federations. You look at the federations that have figured out their junior programs, figured out the excellence programs, you're already seeing some of the results. Now, to me, governance becomes the key that brings everything together. Talking about the different organizations, talking about the role of the government, talking about the role, very, very important role of the private sector, which I don't think we've talked enough about. the role of the broadcasters, the role of sponsors. And really, governance is really a trusteeship of the sport and bringing the various different pieces together and finding the right balance. And to me, it's such an important part of this piece because we have to figure ourselves out locally, because there are actually many, many governance battles to fight internationally. And I think hockey is an example of that, where we perhaps lost a bit of the governance battle at the international level. I think Atul talked about our ability to negotiate with cricket, and I think that's a vital one and a learning we should take for governance internationally in sport.
All right, let's quickly turn to the audience and see who has a comment. Okay, the gentleman here.
My question is from Sraif, sir. You told before that there is a big future in sports. Do you consider that this is a future selling tea in the streets of Northeast?
You were talking about that incident where the Asian Games medalist comes back and sells the tea. I think the Asian Games medalist will get a lot of, you know, a big cash incentive from the state government and the central government. I don't think so that, and also a job will be offered, I'm sure. And I don't think so, you know, he's going to continue in that tea stall.
Want to get everyone's prediction. How well do you think India is going to do in 2020 at the Olympics?
I think India is going to do very well. I think
Define very well. What would you consider very well?
I'd say anything above 10 medals, going up to 15.
10 medals?
Yes, because what we've seen at the Commonwealth Games and the Asian Games has given us a lot to hope from. And the best thing about it is that there's a big lot of chunk of those medals are going to come from the young, from the juniors, from under 20. And
10 medals, how many of them from shooting, out of curiosity?
I'd say at least 3 to 4.
3 to 4. 10 medals up from 2 in the last Olympics is his rather rosy prediction. How much do you think India is going to...
I'll just talk about shooting. We came back without a medal last time and we've had 4 medals till now, you know, starting from 2004, 8 and 2 in 12. I think 2020, we can definitely look at minimum five medals from shooting.
5 medals from shooting is what you're saying. Wow. Atul, let me get your... You want to predict about the Olympics 2020? Feel free. Otherwise, who's going to win the World Cup next year?
Well, India definitely is a contender for the World Cup. But, I mean, currently for the Olympics, I think the tipping point has come. We'll win a lot of medals, but not many from track and field. And a lot of money is going to go in track and field preparation.
Okay, Mr. Rajaraman, how do you think India is going to do?
I have realized over a period of time, last time we said 12 medals, the government of India said 12 to 16 medals from the Olympic game, and that created a hype. I think we should desist from that. We should expect good performances from each one we invest monies in, each one who's trained. If we can expect 100% from them, I think they would have done really well. But yes, if you get 6 medals, which is equal to what we did in London, I would be a very happy man.
Okay, 6. Sumesh, you have any predictions which you would like to make?
Well, as a sportsman, I'm always true to myself. I don't build clouds. I just hope India does well. I hope we don't build castles before we go there. And we rather spend that money into developing athletes. So I cannot predict. I just hope India does well.
Okay, does well. Nandan, last quick word from you on this show.
No specific prediction for 2020. But for me, what is most exciting about Indian sport is we don't know which sport the next big sporting icon is going to come from. It could be javelin. It could be cricket. It could be anything. And I think that's the most exciting bit for me.
Let's see where the next big sporting icons continue to come from. But at least it's good to be having a discussion where things seem to be on the right track. Yeah, I mean, I know for all of you who are watching this and saying, kya baat kar rahe ho, abhi cricket ka dekha, test match, 4-1, haar gaye, kya kar, baat kar. Okay, yes, we know about what happened there. But by and large, I think it's good to have a period where sports seem to be moving in the right direction. And let's hope that extends. You'll be watching The Big Fight. We'll be back next week.